Turn me to Acts chapter 28. I'm going to be reading verse 24. Acts 28, 24. The Bible says, some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. That's been my experience. Some believed and some believed not. Of course, Paul was a lot more persuasive than I am, because usually when he went to a place and preached, you know, like half of them believed him and half of them didn't. But usually where I go and preach, the vast majority don't believe me. And once in a while, somebody does. And so I have to recognize that Paul had a little more persuasion than I do. And of course, one of the differences is that Paul was an actual eyewitness. And I'm just telling people what I believe. I'm just preaching what I believe. And it's a little different than preaching something that I've seen myself and know, and so I cannot be as persuasive as Paul. But if you want to understand what's going on here, this happens to be the significant difference between people in all of history.
Amen.
This right here is the difference. This right here is the significant, important difference in your life. It's the difference in your family. It's the difference in between nations. It's the difference between all walks of life. What is happening here is that God has made this the difference that's going to matter for all eternity.
Amen.
So I think we ought to consider this. And because I have a tendency to get a little bit out of order in things, I always try to put things in sort of an order that I can remember and follow. And even then, I don't always follow the order, but I try to set things up in a organized way, and so I set this up. I want to consider four things and try to keep those in order. The four things I want to consider is the difference. I want to consider that according to God, this is the difference, and I want to consider what it means, this difference. Then I want to consider why God makes this the difference, why God makes a difference between those who believe and those who don't. And then I want to consider what difference it makes. If it makes a difference. If it made no difference, then, you know, you'd say, well, what difference does it make? Well, it makes a difference. And then I want to consider what makes the difference. Why some people believe and why some people don't believe. And I know you're having a hard time following that, aren't you? And I did that on purpose, just to confuse you slightly, to make you think I'm smarter than you. Anyway, Bible says, some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. And that's the way it is right here in this room.
Amen.
Some believe,
amen,
and some don't. That's different. Let's ask the Lord for some help. Lord, I ask you to bless us. I don't have the persuasive words that you had. I don't have the ability to persuade like Paul had, Lord. But I know your Holy Spirit can reach down into somebody's heart and make them see. You can make them understand. And that's our entire hope this morning, Lord, that you'd make them see, you'd make them understand, and that they'd make the right decision about you, Lord, this morning. I ask you in Jesus' name. All right, we need to consider the difference. The difference is believing what God said. First of all, this is the difference that's going to make the difference between your salvation. It's a life and death decision. This is what God says, that this difference right here, whether you believe His Word or not, and what we're talking about here is His Word. Think about it. Paul shows up, like his manner was, he would go into a new city, and when he'd get to that new city, he would go find the Jews in that city. He was a Jew, and the gospel came out of the Jewish race, the Jewish people. And so he would go to the Jews, and he would explain everything in the Old Testament. Like if you read verse 23, he'd say, "And when they appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." Now think about that. He talked to these Jews and he said, look, I'm not against my nation. I'm not trying. I've been accused, whatever. And a lot of people speak against this religion, he says, but I want to explain things from the beginning. And they said, okay, fine. We'll give you some time. And so they actually set aside an entire day and they went over to his house. And from the morning to the evening, he begins to explain the kingdom of God. He talks about Jesus. He talks about the Messiah. He talks about the promises. He reads to them in the law of Moses. And he reads to them in the prophets. And he reads the Psalms. And he shows all of these things from morning till evening, trying to persuade them that what he says is true. That Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That this Jesus of Nazareth was the one that was promised of God. He's God in the flesh. He came to save us. He died and he rose again.
Amen.
Now that's a little bit much to believe. But he died and rose again. And yet, he had a basis on which to base this. He says, look, you guys know the prophets. You know the Old Testament. You understand this. And so what he's trying to get them to believe is the New Testament that we preach now. His doctrine, what he was teaching, is the doctrine of the New Testament that we have now, interpreting the Old Testament. So that we have the form of doctrine found in the New Testament has it explains everything in the Old Testament. And these Jews, they had a very vested interest, we should say, in keeping things the way they were. Because the Jews thought the Old Testament was about Israel. They thought the Old Testament was about the law. They thought the Old Testament was about the glory of their nation. It was a big deal to them what they had in the Old Testament. They were the center of everything. They thought that what the Old Testament was about was the temple. It was Jerusalem. It was the coming of their national glory. That's what they thought it was about. And yet here comes Jesus saying, no, that's not what it's about. And then here comes these apostles saying, no, that's not what it was about. Jesus even disdained their temple. And said, this is nothing. It's going to be destroyed. And in a few years, it was going to be destroyed. And so here comes an apostle saying, this is not what it's about. You have to look at it from a different point of view. Jesus came. He taught us different things. Then he died as a personal salvation. And now this salvation is offered to everyone the same. Jews and Gentiles. And so these Jews are thinking, well, now, wait a minute. What happened to our special status? Well, your special status is that I'm preaching to you first.
Amen.
I came to you first, didn't I? I came and told you first. But it's going to be offered to every single person in this whole city
Amen.
Of Rome. And so they had to decide whether what he was saying was true or not. And he took all day trying to prove it. He says, this is the truth. Now, we have that same thing here. It's called believing the Bible. It's called taking the New Testament and making the New Testament interpret the Old Testament so that we know what it's really about. The Old Testament was really about Jesus Christ. The Old Testament really was about personal salvation. It really was about a heavenly existence with God forever. It really was about the glory of God and not the glory of people. It really was. But, you know, if you read the Old Testament, you might get to... You know, nowadays we got a lot of Christians that are thinking that the Old Testament really is what it's about. And they're wrong. They're wrong. If you want to know what God is expecting, He wants you to believe the record God gave of His Son.
Amen.
The Bible says, even Jesus says, in the volume of the book it is written of me. It's about me, Jesus says.
Amen.
All right. Now that's the difference. Now God didn't choose to save people who were better than other people. He could have. But he didn't choose to save people who were better than others. He says it's not going to be about righteousness. It's not going to be about goodness. It's not going to be about who does more good stuff than others. Because that would have been a problem. And it's not going to be about religion. It's not going to be about intelligence. It's not going to be who's smarter than everybody else. He made this the difference. Whether or not you believe the record
Amen.
God gave of His Son.
Amen.
Whether or not you believe this book, whether or not you accept what this book says, and if you really do from the heart believe it, it'll make the difference in your life. Now that's what he's saying. This is the difference. It's whether or not you believe the Bible. Now, there's all kinds of people who claim to believe the Bible, but they don't, and you can tell. In fact, most Christians will say they believe the Bible, but you can tell they don't. You'll get some pastors behind the pulpit telling you where the Bible is wrong. They'll tell you it's translated wrong here, or it's not right here, or this, hey, there's an older manuscript somewhere we found that says, you know, they got all kinds of ways to correct the Bible. And you know, what you can find by them changing the Bible is that they don't believe what the old Bible said. That's the only reason to change what it says. If they change what it says, it's because they didn't believe what it used to say. And that's a problem. But you've got Christians say, well, we believe the Bible, but then they prove by their life that they don't believe it.
Amen.
I know Christians like that all the time. They say, I believe the Bible, but their life proves that they don't believe it. You want to find out how much they believe the Bible? Invite them to a Bible study. It's amazing how they're just not interested in a Bible study. I see Christians walking by all the time when I'm preaching on the street, and they're just not interested. I see them all ashamed. I see them, oh my goodness. And I know they're Christians. I mean, good grief. 75% of Americans call themselves Christian. But they're not interested in the Bible. Now, let me tell you something. If there was a mime out there doing some little deal, they would line up in droves to watch it. A little magician doing something, somebody out there with a guitar having a pretty voice and singing up something, they'll just line up and listen to them for an hour. But you stand out there and preach what the Bible says, and whoo, my, it's just not that interesting.
Amen.
You know why? Some believe and some don't.
Amen.
That's the difference. Believing what God said rather than your parents.
Yeah.
Believing what God said rather than your tradition.
Amen.
Believing what God said rather than your religion. Now, and this is where the difference is. And let me tell you something. It's good to listen to your parents. They got some wisdom, more wisdom than you probably, and so they're trying to give you some wisdom. But there's going to come a time when you're going to have to choose between the Bible and your parents.
Right.
And that's where the difference is going to be made known.
Amen.
Because I've met a lot of people who believed the Bible until it went against what their parents said. Or till it went against what their religion said. Or till it went against what they prefer.
Right. Amen.
All right, why does God make a difference? Why does God make this the difference? Why faith? Why not righteousness? Why doesn't God look at people and say, the people who live the best and do the most good stuff, the people who try harder, the people who are the most sincere, the people who steal less than others, people who lie fewer times than others, people who are less lustful, people who are more self-disciplined, those are the people I'm going to enter into my kingdom. Those are the ones I'm going to accept. Those are the ones, that's the difference. I'm going to make the difference on righteousness. So that if you do some better stuff than other people, then you're the one I'm going to choose. And in fact, we'll just say 51%. If you are 51% good and only 49% bad, then I'm going to accept you into the kingdom. And if you really think that that's the way God should have chosen, then you probably aren't thinking very clearly. Because who wants a 51% good person? I don't. You say, you know, I want to work for you. Okay, yeah. And I didn't steal near as much from my last boss as all them other guys. No, I want you to tell me I didn't steal anything from my last boss. I would never steal from my boss. I want to work for you. Well, sure, then I might actually think about hiring you, but tell me right up front you're going to steal less than all my other employees? No. You see, God didn't choose righteousness. Well, why not intelligence? Why shouldn't God just choose the very best of us? I mean, the people with the best voice, the people with the brightest minds. I mean, that's how we choose, right? We choose our friends. We want people who are, you know, just the best. We don't choose the ugliest, the stupidest people for our friends. No, we choose the best. We think the best we can get a hold of. That's why people flock to me. I have to fight them off. I got too many friends. Too many people want to be my friends. I have to tell them, no, I have enough friends. You choose the best you can. Are you going to tell me that when you came to wanting to choose a wife, you chose the ugliest one you could find? No, you chose the prettiest one you could find. And the smartest one. And you women, you chose... I know, you weren't so worried about whether he was good looking because obviously you weren't terribly worried about his looks. But you wanted someone smart. You wanted someone who made money. You wanted somebody that could make you laugh or make you feel good. You didn't choose the worst. You didn't even pretend that it didn't matter. You were going for the best. Well, why didn't God go for the best? Why didn't God look among men and say, I'm going to take the brightest, the strongest, the hardest, the best looking, the most gifted. I'm just going to take those. Why wouldn't God choose that? God chose this. If they believe my word, if they believe the record I give of my son,
amen.
If when the preacher stands up and preaches, they believe it, I choose them. That's the difference. Why? Well, I thought about a few reasons. And I'm not going to say that I know these. I don't know God's mind completely. I have a little bit of a glimpse of God's mind because I do know the Bible. And so that does help me understand a little bit. But the truth is, this is my best guess. First of all, God is interested in freedom.
Amen.
He's not interested in robots. He's not interested in having a whole bunch of servants do exactly what he tells them, perfect obedience, because they have no other inclination. He's obviously wanting people to make a free choice.
Amen.
I don't want my wife to be my slave. I want her to want to be with me.
Amen.
I want her to want me. I don't want my friends to be forced to be my friends.
Amen.
I don't want to have so much power that people are afraid to, you know, cross me or say something different than me. I'm that way. I think God's that way. Why else would He give you the freedom you've got? And by the way, you've got the freedom. You don't have to follow God. You don't have to believe the Bible. You don't have to believe the doctrines. You don't have to believe the gospel. You can live any way you want. God's given you the space. There you go. You got space. And you know what He's hoping? And the Bible says He's hoping. He's hoping you'll turn.
Yes.
He's hoping you'll come.
Yes.
He's hoping you'll believe.
Yes.
But as your own free choice. He wants you to make that choice. He wants you to want Him. He wants you to want. He's not interested in robots. In fact, I don't think He's even interested in servants. Now, we are all His servants. He is such a powerful King, Creator, God, so much power, so much majesty, so much perfection that we are not even to compare to Him. And so, yes, we are His servants. But I don't believe that's the relationship He's looking for. Master-servant. Where He snaps His fingers and we just obey. He's looking for something more than that. He's looking for people who from their heart will serve Him, even if they don't apparently get anything from it. Like Job. Somebody who will say, no, I'm going to serve God even if He doesn't give me anything. That's what God's interested in.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else He's interested in. He's interested in accountability. He's interested in you making a choice and getting what's yours because of your choice. And if you don't believe that, just look at history. Look at what's happened. God is interested in giving you what you want. Take, for example, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was not a better person than Esau.
That's right.
In fact, if you look at it, Esau was a little more, he had a little more integrity. He looked to me like he had uprightness. He was a little more honest. Jacob was just a little bit of a sleaze. He was a little bit of a cheat. He was a little sneaky. His mom didn't help him much either. Boy, they knew how. They were going to fix things. They were going to work things out. They were going to become first, whatever. But you know something? God gave Jacob so much blessing. He's mentioned more than almost anybody else in the Bible. Jacob, 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 Israel, Jacob, Jacob. It's why? And why is he the one? Why? Because he wanted it. That's the reason why. He wanted what God had to offer. He wanted the birthright. Esau didn't care. He wanted the blessing. Esau didn't care. He wanted the blessing so bad, he sat there by that brook, Jabbok, and wrestled the angel all night long. And even when the angel crippled him, he wouldn't let him go. And the angel said, "What's going on? Let me go." He says, "I will not let thee go unless thou bless me."
Amen.
God wants you to have what's yours. What you want. It's a matter of choice. What do you want? Think about it. What is it that you want? You want a bigger house? You want a new car? You want a bigger boat? Yeah, you do, don't you? And God will give you what you want. He's just that kind of a guy. But don't you think you might ought to want something else?
Amen.
How about the salvation of your soul?
Amen.
How about fellowship with God?
Amen.
How about the ability to walk right into the presence of all the holy angels and hold your head up high?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be something to want? How about just the ability to please God? Just to be able to say, "Here I am, God," and God say, "I'm glad you're here." Wow. Just the ability to make God happy? Man, I think you're wanting the wrong things. You know, the Bible says that God did all kinds of things to know what was in their heart. Put them through all kinds of deals. Why? To know what was in their heart. Why does God choose this gospel and He sets people out there and they hear the gospel? And there they hear the gospel, they either believe or they don't believe. And God says, that's going to make the difference. Why? Because God wanted to know what was in the heart. That brings me to the other thing, reality. God is a God that's interested in reality, something real. And almost everything else is faked. Righteousness is faked. I mean, you see the Pope up there with his nice long robe and his little pointed hat. And he has his hands like this, cocks his head a little bit, and prays. Fake. That's all fake. I don't care about how your hands are. He don't care what satin robes you wear. It's fake. Why do priests wear a collar on their thing and a long black robe? Why do they do that? You think God cares about what they wear? Or do you think what they wear is any symbol at all about what they are? Not at all. It's fake. They're doing that to be seen of men.
Right.
And it's not just them. It's all the preachers. Why do you think the preachers pull out a handkerchief and daub their eye? They preach the same thing 100 times. You think it still makes them cry that moment? It's all fake.
Amen.
That's why you got to watch out for entertainment-based churches.
Amen.
Entertainment-based churches, it's all fake. And God is not interested in phony. He's not interested in appearances.
Amen.
He's interested in the heart. He wants to know what's inside.
Amen.
That's why He says if they believe, that is, if they believe in their heart, then they'll serve Me from their heart, not with eye service, not because the boss comes in and everybody's working. Everybody's working when the boss comes in. It's when the boss is not there that you find out what's in their heart. You know it. God is interested in reality. I'll tell you something else God is interested in. He's interested in humility. Nobody's going to boast in His presence.
That's right.
Ain't nobody going to be boasting. I was better than them. I pulled it off. Did you see that? It's like go fishing with Jim, and then he's going to tell us all about how good a fisherman he is just because he catches 7 and we only catch 1. Oh, man, I tell you what. Well, he's a better fisherman than we are. There's no doubt about it. I just didn't have the right hooks, that's all. That's all. That's the only reason. But you know something? If God took Jim into heaven because he was a good fisherman, He'd never let you hear the end of it.
That's right.
That's why He said it ain't going to be about how good you are. It ain't going to be about anything like that. It's all going to be about what you believe. Do you believe the record God gave of His Son? Do you believe this book?
Amen.
Do you believe the record that God said?
Amen.
Are you focused on what God said? Do you believe this? Because that's where the reality is. And then there's no bragging. There's no boasting in heaven. You know what you're going to have in heaven? You're going to have a tremendous number of people who are humble and yet righteous. In fact, you have it in the true church right now. All of those that know God, they have been made righteous by His Holy Spirit, and their lives are changed.
Amen.
They are truly living upright, but they're humble. They call themselves sinners.
Amen.
Paul the Apostle was giving his life away for God. He served God. He was blameless in all these things, and yet he says, "I'm the chief of sinners." Wow, what a contrast! But in any other way, man, you get all the boasting. You get all the bragging. You get all the appearances. You get all the junk. No, God's not interested in boasting. He's interested in some humility. And I'm going to tell you a fifth reason why God chose this. And that's because He's interested in results. And none of the other stuff works. No other religion works, folks. It doesn't produce salvation in the heart. If you make any series of commands, like the Mormons say, you got four things you got to do to be saved. And then they list them off. You got to keep the law of Moses, and you got to be baptized, and you got to blah, 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 blah. The only problem with that is they don't do it. They don't keep it. Whatever rules you have, it doesn't change your heart.
Amen.
The only thing that'll change your heart is God seeing the faith and giving you the Holy Spirit, and my goodness, the results happen. People get changed. People get saved. Things happen. Why? Because it works.
Amen.
That's why God... You say, well, why does God care about faith? Because it works.
Amen.
When somebody comes to truly believe the gospel, it changes their mind. You know why drug addicts can't get off drugs? Because they haven't truly repented yet.
Right.
This is the reason. They haven't truly believed in their heart. There's something in their heart that's still not right. I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just trying to let you know this is where the problem is. The problem's in the heart. Because once you truly believe in the heart, it'll change you.
That's right.
It'll change you from the inside out. All right. So what difference does it make? Well, I just said, it changes you. It'll change your life. Real repentance will change your life. The fact is, these people had the choice. Half of them, maybe half, believed the things that were spoken. And the other half, they did not believe the things that were spoken. And let me tell you what the difference it made in their lives. Those people who believed the things that were spoken, they changed their life and ordered it according to the New Testament doctrine. That form of doctrine that transforms people. They began to follow Jesus Christ. They began to rejoice and worship God and sing, and they were going to church. And the others, they kept on their merry way. They just kept doing their own things, their own way. Whatever was convenient for them, they lived how they wanted to live. Made a difference in their lives. It made a difference. It's made a difference in a lot of people's lives right in here. And some people haven't believed. It made no difference in their life. They didn't believe. I've seen it. I've preached the gospel, and one brother believed and the other brother didn't. And I saw what happened. I was in Leon one time. I preached. One brother believed and one brother didn't believe. They were both sorry teenagers, drug addicts, gang members, whatever. One believed and one didn't. Go back 10 years later. One's a preacher. One's a missionary. One's got a family. He's got a wife that believes and children that believe, and they're going to church, and their life is a blessing, and their life is full. And the other one, drug addict, no job, destroyed, own family. Oh, his own family doesn't want him. Makes a difference. You say, well, what difference does it make? Well, there it is. There's a difference. It'll make a difference in your life whether you believe the record God Amen. Gave His Son. Let me tell you something. If you believe the Bible, it's going to make a difference in your life.
Amen.
It'll make the significant difference in your life if you believe the Bible. And if you don't believe the Bible, it'll have its effect also. It'll make a difference in your life. You say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Okay. I've talked to I don't know how many people say, well, I don't believe the Bible. All right, I'm just going to warn you. This is where it's going to lead you. I sat there and laid it out. It's going to lead to drug addiction. No, I'm too smart for that. I'm not going to go down that road. I already know about that. I'm not going to do that. A few years later, drug addict. What, am I a prophet or the son of a prophet? You think I can predict the future? No, I can't. I just know believing the Bible makes a difference in your life. Rejecting the Bible is going to make a difference in your life.
That's right.
I'll tell you something else. It'll make a difference in your death.
That's
Amen.
See, if you don't believe the Bible, you're going to have a little different experience at death. It's going to be a tremendous tragedy in your mind. And death, in fact, holds all kinds of horrors. I know you got some really strong intellectual atheistic types that say, "No, I'm not going to miss. Not going to make no difference in mine." But I've seen them. I've seen how they live. I've seen their children. I've seen the hopelessness. I've seen it. Surely you've seen it. Makes a difference. Have you ever been to the funeral of somebody who knew the Lord and was ready to go? Makes a difference. It'll make a difference in your preparation for death.
That's right.
It's going to make a difference, people. If you believe the record God gave of His Son, it'll make a difference in the day you die. It'll make a difference in the way you die. It'll make a difference in the expectation. It'll make a difference in the way your family receives that news. Makes a difference. Let me tell you something. It makes a difference in relationships.
Yeah.
It resolves an awful lot of conflicts if you believe the book.
Amen.
It makes a lot of, you know something? You don't have to avenge yourself. You don't have to hate. You can just let things go. You can walk away. You can lose everything and still be joyful. It makes a difference in your relationships. It'll make a difference in your marriage. It will resolve conflicts. It'll make you more merciful. Wow. And you know that makes a difference. It'll make you more loving. It'll make you kinder. If you believe the record God gave of His Son, it'll make a difference in your relationship. You say, "Well, I have a real problem with my marriage," whatever. If you would believe the record God gave of His Son, it would make a difference in your marriage.
Amen.
It would make a difference in your relationship with your boss. It'll make a difference in your relationship with your neighbors. If you believe the record, and you say, "Well, I've got all kinds of problems with my neighbors." And, you know, I can tell you where that's coming from. You're not believing the record God gave of His Son. You need to believe it. It'll make a difference in your society. I was talking to a rationalist, self-proclaimed rationalist. I said, "Well, you know where rationalism as a movement came from, right? Protestantism. You see, because the Bible is not against reason. He wants you to be rational. Rationalism came from Christians that believed the Bible. They were saying, we're going to look at this rationally. We're not going to follow tradition. We're not going to follow dogma of the church. We're going to believe what the Bible says." And that's where the whole movement came from. It went from there somewhere else, but, well, you know, whatever. God is a rational being. God is reason. He wants you to reason. He wants you to think things through. Did you know that in society, believing the record God gave of His Son, it has transformed our civilization,
yes.
Transformed our society. You have political freedom now. Do you know where that came from? They didn't have it in Hindu lands. They didn't have it in China. Confucius didn't bring us that. Well, do you know where the division of powers comes from? Do you ever hear Jesus say, give unto God the things that are God's and render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, that jurisdiction thing? You know where that came from? It came from Jesus Christ, and that's what our society is built around. You women ever wonder how come you have so much freedom here in this country? It's amazing.
That's right.
You wonder. How about prosperity? You wonder where prosperity comes from? You need to do some research. Find out where prosperity comes from. How does it come? You need to figure that out. Because it doesn't just happen anywhere. It didn't come, you know, from the deep jungles of Africa or South America. Where did it come from? It came from people who knew the Bible backwards and forwards. They knew. They did. They worked according to these principles. Yeah. What difference does it make? Believing the record God gave of His Son, what difference does it make? It's made a difference in your life.
That's right.
Every single person in here owes a great debt to the principles in this book.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
But if you don't want to believe it, you don't have to believe it, but it makes a difference. All right. I believe that faith is a gift of God. And I believe that because the Bible says so. But that doesn't mean it's a direct gift of God, as in an immediate thing where God just says, "Open up your head and I'm going to pour in some faith." I don't believe that. I believe faith has causes. And I believe there are things that hinder faith. What makes the difference? Why is it that some people believe and some people don't? Are there things that cause people to not believe? Yeah, I believe there are. Number one, I believe narrow-mindedness. It'll cause you not to believe. You're just narrow-minded. I had a guy, somebody coming to our church in Irapuato, they asked me to go visit their father, uncle, something, somewhere there in Irapuato. And so I went over there to visit him. I got in there and I said, "Have you read the Bible?" He said, "Yeah, I started to." I got about 2 or 3 pages in, and I read the story where a woman was talking to a snake. I closed it and said, "Never mind." That's pretty narrow-minded.
Yeah.
As well as dishonest. He was pretending that he started off without knowing the story of Eve and the snake. Everybody knows the story of Eve and the snake, okay, folks? Everybody. He knew it before he read the Bible. That was just his excuse, so watch out for that. But let me tell you something. You can be so narrow-minded that you won't give God a fair hearing. You can be so narrow-minded that you're not going to actually pay attention to what God actually said. Christians also can get fairly closed-minded. And that's not real faith then. If you just get all closed-minded, you say, "I'm not going to read." You know, the weakest religions are the ones that will kill you if you read the Bible. That's the weakest religion there are. What are you afraid of? If you have the truth, why are you afraid? They're the weakest religions. The Muslim religion is the weakest one. I'll probably get shot tomorrow because I said that. But that's just go to prove what I'm saying. They're the weakest ones. Can't tolerate anybody listening to anybody else. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the Bible? Why don't you want us to read it? Why don't you want your people to read it? Why would you kill somebody because they switched? Because you're weak. The Bible's not telling you to be that way. You know, I got to the point where I was very convinced, and I knew the Bible well, and I got to thinking, but I haven't really studied it out. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to be fair-minded. I'm going to buy books that explain to me the other side. And so I did. I started looking. I'd go to all these used bookstores and I just started buying books. And I got, I don't know, 15, 25, I don't know how many books I got. And I just started reading them. All of them anti-Bible, anti-creation, evolutionary, all that stuff. I just read it all. Man, I got through those 15 or so books or 20 books or however many I have. I still got them. They're in a box somewhere up in my attic. But I don't have a place to put them out, so I haven't been able to look at them. I don't know how many I had, but I read them all. And I got done there and I'm thinking, wow. I'm in trouble. I don't have the answers for all these objections. I don't know. But then I thought, well, I'm still not being fair-minded. I haven't read the other side. So then I went and got all kinds of books to answer those. And I bought, I don't know, 15 or 20, maybe 30, I don't know, I got a bunch of them. Books answering those objections. And when I got done, let me tell you something, my faith was strengthened. My faith was strengthened because I had read the whole thing. I became fair-minded. I read both sides, and now I know. You see, it has to do with not being so narrow-minded. You get somebody that says, "No, I don't believe the Bible." Narrow-minded. Have you read it? Some of them will say, "Yeah, I have read it," but they haven't really considered it. They're not open-minded enough to give God a chance to speak, even to listen. Somebody hears, they says so in the book of Acts, it says these people listened to him until he mentioned the resurrection of the dead. And then they all start laughing. "Oh man, that's funny, resurrection of the dead. Really? You're not even that open-minded?" You get so narrow-minded, closed off. You say, "I'm not even going to pay attention. I'm not going to be fair-minded. I'm not going to give you a chance to explain your way. I'm not going to listen to you." That's going to hinder your faith. It makes the difference. Let me tell you something else that will hinder your faith, and that's distractions. You get all distracted about the world. I mean, the world, I mean, it's got a lot of stuff, man. You can get distracted about all kinds of things. You get distracted about health. You know, right now, that's a real distraction. People are worried about health. They're going to die anyway. But my goodness, are they worried about their health. They actually read the labels about everything they eat because they don't want that high fructose corn syrup in what they eat. Why? Well, because it causes obesity or something. And yes, it does. I'm sure it does. But they're so worried about health. They can get distracted on all kinds of things. You can get distracted about wealth. Some people are so knowledgeable and so focused on making money and getting ahead and advancing, and they don't stop to realize, for what? What are you working so hard for? Where are you trying to get to? What's the point? I mean, after your first million, what are you going to do? I can't even imagine what I'd spend $1 million on. And you've got billions. I mean, I don't know anybody in here that has billions, but there are people that are so focused on wealth that it just hinders their faith. Yes. Even Jesus says so. He says the cares and riches of this world choke the word.
Yes.
They don't bring any fruit to perfection. They get so into pleasure. Some people are just so into pleasure. They're into thrills. They're into experiences. They're into entertainment. I know people who actually got to the place where they had enough money and they sold what they needed to sell and they got themselves set up and now they're just traveling the world. What? They want to see buildings.
Yep.
They are going all over the world to see buildings. You might be missing the point. You might be missing the point in your life. You might even be missing the point of what you're looking at. Why in the world would you spend the rest of your life traveling the world to see the wonders of the world? I can actually understand why somebody would want to go see the Grand Canyon, but they want to go see these cities with buildings, and they just feel like they're just enjoying life, and it's great to enjoy life, but it might distract you if you think that's what life is about. Surely you know better. Surely you know life is not about that. You can get distracted. Let me tell you something else that hinders faith, and that's pride.
Amen.
You know, Jesus even said as much in John 5. He said, "How can you believe which receive honor one from another and seek not that honor which cometh from God only?" Pride will hinder you.
Amen.
In fact, you might be surprised how much it is pride that has hindered you up to now.
Amen.
Believing
Amen.
What God said. It's just simple pride. I'm amazed at how proud people are. The pride in humanity, in thinking, you know, they've gotten somewhere. I've had people tell me, in fact, I read an article on what they think is going to happen real soon. They're about to discover the aging process and how to counteract it so that we can live forever. Wow! And they're very impressed with themselves. That's pride, folks. You know, people are really proud of humanity. Have you ever read the Humanist Manifesto? It's really funny to read both of them. You read the one from 1933, before World War II, and read the one from 1970, after. They've changed some things. You might ask yourself, why did they change? You see, because in 1933, they were talking in glowing terms about humanity and how wonderful it is and how we're progressing and we're going forward and it's going to be a utopia and whatever. And then they had World War II. That's a wet blanket right there on your humanity. But people are really proud of their civilization. They're really proud of the advances and the progress. And I mean to tell you, we've beat polio. We're not really quite on top of Ebola yet, but we got some other things working out. Really? Seriously? Are you that proud that you won't listen to God? It's whether you believe His Word or not. Let me tell you something else that hinders faith, and that's ulterior motives that you haven't even quite figured out yet yourself.
Amen.
You don't know why you believe what you believe. You haven't figured them out. Did you know there's ulterior motives? You've got motives for what you do, what you say, and what you believe that even you don't understand. Just go talk to a psychiatrist and he'll start pointing some things out. Psychiatrists are trained in that. They want to find out what your real motives are. You might find out that you have this obnoxious problem because you hate your mother. They say there's other reasons. You thought it was this, but it's something else. And you ought to know better. You ought to know you don't know all the reasons why you do things. So why does somebody say, well, I don't believe the Bible? You might ought to look for some ulterior motives. There might be some other reason. How about sin? Maybe you just like sin. Maybe you just like the way you live. Maybe you like that freedom to live however you want. Maybe you've got your reasons for not believing the Bible. But maybe they're not all that noble. There are ulterior motives. Some people don't like the way the Bible way of life.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you another reason, and that is deceivers. There are a lot of deceivers in the world. There's a lot of, you know, don't believe for a second that you're just this empty slate that's just receiving, and you're so rational and so intelligent that you're figuring things out as you go. No, you're believing somebody. You're believing somebody.
Amen.
Somebody is put an idea in your head, and that's what you're going with. And people are deceivers. I know some people who don't believe the Bible because they believe some holy person. They believe some... I mean, I've read people who actually shared their wives with some holy guy. Why would they do that? They got fooled. They got deceived.
Amen.
I can just tell you this. If somebody out there is saying he's from God and he wants to borrow your wife, you can just write it down. He's not from God. I don't care how holy he looks. And I've actually seen pictures of these people, and I can't imagine anybody respecting them, thinking they're anything special. But there are a lot of deceivers. In fact, you are probably following somebody's thoughts. You say, I don't believe the Bible. But you're believing somebody else. You don't believe Paul when he says he saw Jesus Christ risen again from the dead. But you're believing Richard Dawkins. You're believing, you know, Stephen Hawking. Or you're believing Charles Darwin. Or you're believing something. You got to be careful. There are all kinds of things that hinder faith. All kinds of things get in the way of this most significant difference. And God says, this is it. You either believe the record I'm giving of my Son. You believe the things that are spoken, or you don't.
Yes.
And that's going to make the difference.
Amen.
It'll make the difference in your life. It'll make the difference in your death. It'll make the difference in your eternity. That's what the Bible says. Now, I can't prove it scientifically. There are some things I can prove scientifically, and I don't believe God expects you to go against science. I mean, seriously, if you've got evidence that monkeys descended from lizards, then you ought to believe that. If you really have evidence of that, but I've searched it out, I don't find evidence of that. I don't see that. But God is not telling you to not believe the truth. He wants you to believe the truth. But it's all about evaluating the witnesses. It's about evaluating the witnesses, and you read this book, and you find these witnesses, and you can determine whether or not they were getting rich by doing this, or whether they had some other ulterior motives, and then you evaluate the other witnesses that tell you the other thing, and you can find out whether they might have had some ulterior motives, and then you have to make a choice. You make a decision. Which witnesses are you going to believe?
Yes.
You're going to believe God's Word, the record that He gave of His Son that came down through the apostles and the prophets and that we have all written down right here? You're going to believe that or you're not? And God's going to make the difference based on that choice of yours.
That's right.
Let's pray.